Good morning, Central. Also to all of you online, greetings and bless you for coming to be a part of this service today. My goal this morning is to, thank you so much. My goal this morning is to draw you closer to Christ. At the end of this message, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a commitment to Him, to grow in your relationship with Him. I've felt the Lord lay that real clear on my heart that every time you preach, give an invitation to know me more personally. And so I pray that for you today. I'm so honored today to get to bring God's word, to get to preach His name. And so I pray the Lord will bless what I have to say. We're in the middle of this space series. And, you know, one of the huge components of this whole set is the mission control, baby. We love life when we have control. The part of life that I've discovered from my days when I was pastoring here, those of you who are teens, like 100 years ago, I was youth pastor here. And as I look back at that time in my life, I felt like I had more control than I do these days. And having to step away from the control panel and look out into those parts of space that are a little more distant, the ones you don't know for sure. This morning, as Spence is praying over the graduates and they're graduating, there's some unknowns, there's some things that are coming that you just aren't certain about. I was sitting with a guy on Friday, and I said to him, if I had told you going back 30 years ago, your life would take this path, he's like, oh, no way. Not possible. The unknown. The things that there is no control panel to run to. What's your thing with that today? What's the thing in life that maybe last night you actually took Xanax because you couldn't sleep? And it's right here. And even coming to church this morning, even being online, is just a little bit of a break from it. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, the unknown. The things you don't expect. The things you don't control. I've had a lot of them, and I've got some experience now in this area, and I just want to share about it. I'm just going to talk, and I'm going to say the name of Jesus, I pray, very boldly and very clearly. So the verse that we usually go to with this is 1 Peter 5:7. It's coming up on the screen, and most of you know it. In fact, we have songs about it. In fact, we love to sing this song. I will cast all my care upon you. I lay all of my burdens. We love to sing it, but practicing it, now that's a whole different gig. Some of you have it, you've made iconic things in your house with this verse on it, and you even do all kind of graphic things with it because it's cool as heck. It'll sell on a shirt. But it's challenging to live out. And part of the problem, I think, is when we see that verse, I know what happens for me. I look at it and I go, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to cast it over there and never have to think about it again. That's what I want to deal with. I learned to cast. Like when I hear the word cast, it's not what the actual word there means, but that's what I think of is casting, like fishing. Like my grandpa taught me to fish when I was a little boy, and it was pushing that button, son, and fly it, let it go. I have a grandkids here, and I was teaching them the same thing, how to let that rod and reel go at the right time so you cast it. That's what we do in the morning. Lord, I cast all my cares on you, and then all day long, what do? We reel it back in. Then we pick it up, look at it, and go, yeah, still there. Cast it again the next morning. It's not what this verse means. It's what we think it means. But the casting in that day would have been like casting an iron pot, making something that is sealed, that is done. The best way I can describe it is like this. Those of you who have something in a vault at a bank. When you go down to the bank, you walk in, it's not a normal teller day, you go in and you say, hey, I need to go in the vault. They will go, oh, sure, bring your key, and you go over there, and then they bring that big old door, you know, roll it open, and you go in there, do your thing, then they seal it back. When you're done, they push it back, they roll that thing, and you walk away. And when you leave, you feel pretty good that it's safe. You don't get in your car and go, I wonder if that's going to be okay in there. No, you've put it in the vault. That's what this means. This morning, that thing that you have in your life, now watch, because it's going to be a very fine line to understand this. I want you to take the anxiety and worry about that thing and put it in the vault. Because sometimes you can't put that thing in the vault. The Bible says, cast all your cares and anxiety into the vault about whatever your topic is in life. Let me explain that. Because we want to put the whole thing in the vault. Like you've got somebody right now you'd love to take downtown, put them in a sealed vault and done. It's not what it means. The way I saw this was working on this sermon. I'm riding my bike, preaching the sermon out loud. That's one of the ways I kind of go through a sermon to know what I'm going to share. And I'm on my bike and I'm just riding down the road, going down the sidewalk pretty fast, preaching the sermon. And I rounded the corner and there was a guy behind a little bush there in a wheelchair. And I zipped around. I mean, I literally went really fast around him. Went on by. Just felt like, well, I need to go back to see who that is and why he's in that wheelchair. It was kind of just feel like I needed to do it. So I turned my bike around and I came back. He's facing that way, like he's over there facing that way. I said, sir, I'm coming up behind you. Don't be startled. I'm the dude that just went by on the bike. He said, okay. So I circled around my bike and I came up, literally put my wheel up against the wheelchair right between his knees. I said, how you doing? He said, I'm good. And I literally said this, why are you in that wheelchair? He said, oh man, about 2 years ago at work, I had an accident and severed my spinal cord. I'm a paraplegic now and I'll never walk again. And this is my life. And I said, dude, I'm sorry. I said, what does it feel like when somebody like me just whips by you 15 miles an hour on a bicycle? He said, it's hard. I said, I assume you used to ride bikes. He said, all the time. Now, let me show you something. God can, of course, do miracles and heal him completely, absolutely, but it's likely he's going to spend the rest of his life in that wheelchair. So if I say, well, let's just cast it off, he can. He's got to go back in that little house, and he talked about being in this house where there's several paraplegics and we all have to be taken care of, and he said, I hate it. Somebody has to care for my private and personal needs. I hate it. I said, yeah, that makes sense. And I said, I'm actually just wondering if it'd be okay if I prayed for you. He's like, pray for me. I said, yeah, can I pray for you? He goes, well, let me put out my cigarette. So he's putting his cigarette out. I said, you're good, dude, you're good. And I started praying for him. I remember I cried with him. And I reached down and I hugged him. I hugged him before I rode away. He said to me, who are you? I said, well, I'm Dan. He goes, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a preacher. He's like, I thought, who in the heck would pray for me? And I said, well, I'm working on a sermon about casting your cares on the Lord. But dude, you know, you got to go deal with this every day. I said, but I don't want you to live in worry and fear about it. And he said, that's good. And I speak that to someone today. Your issue is actually going home with you. But I want you to consider leaving the worry and the fear about it here this morning. That's going to be a choice you have to make to vault that part of your issue. Health issue. Family issue, work issue, kid issue. I get them. I understand it. I had to do this week. I'll explain that at the end of the message. But I'm asking you this morning to look at your thing. Just look at it. Like normally we preachers say to you, hey, put everything aside, let's focus on the Lord. Today I'm saying, go grab your thing and bring it right here. Stare at it and go, what am I going to do with this thing that makes me anxious? So I put myself in your guys' spot. When I was your age, my parents just didn't do well. And I had a lot of anxiety about that. And I remember being your age, and I would hear preachers like me preach, and my parents were sitting somewhere else, and I would just be thinking, oh, Mom and Dad, listen. If you're dealing with anxiety today, I would tell you, you are normal. If you're here today and you're 20 and you got a metaverse life going on people don't even know about, and you're dealing with high anxiety about, what am I going to do with this? I've got myself in a pickle. I don't know what to do. This is my thing. Dan, I don't sleep at night. Okay. Then I want to talk about that. Because I want you to understand, Jesus gets you. You aren't weird. You aren't abnormal. You're not the only one dealing with this, man. He loves to get you all alone and make you feel like you're a piece of crap. And there are some of you who are dealing with issues that you brought the issue on yourself. There are others of you who are dealing with issues that you didn't, you had nothing to do. You have no control. And either way, you right now are sitting going, I don't have a control panel anymore. Correct. And I want to tell you a story about Jesus, how he shows us to live in these spots. I have felt very clear in my heart. Let me just pause here for a moment because I'm really weary right now in the body. I'm dealing with Bell's palsy. It's doing a little better, but I'm really struggling this morning as I speak with this side of my face. So I'm trying really hard. So if anybody looks up here and thinks I look a little weird, just pray for me. I'm fine. I'm on some medication, but I'm half sheets into the wind. So if I say the wrong word today, forgive me. But I want to preach this message to honor the Lord, so please continue to listen as I do my best. I've felt very clear that the Lord is to lay on my heart that I'm to preach a story about him when I teach, so I'm going to do that. This story is one of my favorites that applies this principle of casting your cares on the Lord. I want to show you how it happened in his life and how we can follow that example. Jesus was by the Sea of Galilee. Most of you know that name when I say it. If you're online, don't know much about God's word, Sea of Galilee, about 70 miles north of Jerusalem. Looks a little bit like a sideways tier. It's a lake. It's called the Sea of Galilee, but it actually was a freshwater lake, just like Lake Michigan. You say, well, why'd they call it the Sea of Galilee? And look at the size. It's 64 square miles. That's how big the Sea of Galilee is. Lake Michigan's 22,000 square miles. Lake Michigan is huge compared to the Sea of Galilee. And we think of seas as bigger than lakes. Why is that all mixed up? I would say to you, they did not have Google Earth. They could not see the size of it all. So this sea lake is pretty well known for some major miracles. Jesus, with the disciples, they were fishing, could get no fish on one side of the boat. He said, throw the net on the other side, load it up. This is where Peter walked on water and sank in the water. And then this story, recorded in the book of Mark, is the story of Jesus at the end of the day being really weary from healing, touching, helping, praying, anointing, and blessing people. And just so you know, because we get in our mind, well, Jesus, yeah, you don't understand, he was always perfect. Yeah, he was, but he got tired too. And in this story, he's really tired. It's the end of the day. He's been healing people all day long. It says it was the end of the day, dusk. So right at that place where you start going, oh man, I probably got an hour left here before start. That's where we are. Jesus says to his disciples, hey guys, I'm shot. We're going to get on this boat, and I want y'all to take me to the other side of the lake. So they get in the boat. A lot of little boats are out there still chasing after Jesus, trying to get healed. And interesting to note in this story, Jesus doesn't take time to get any snacks or anything. It says it very specifically in the passage that they didn't even take time to grab anything. He was so shot. Get on the boat. We'll figure that out later. So I imagine how weary he was, and the Bible says he got on the boat and he went into the stern, and I'm going to kind of portray that right here. It's kind of interesting, really close to mission control. And Jesus lays down on a pillow, and that's interesting too, by the way. There's not another spot you find in Scripture where Jesus actually had a pillow. He laid down on the pillow, and he went to sleep. Now Jesus had said to them, take me to the other side of the lake, where they were putting in right there to row across. Remember, we got an hour before dark to go across from where they were to where they were going. No motors, no lights. You got it? It's 4 miles. So Peter and the boys are putting the boat in the water. Jesus went here, went to sleep, and he said to them, take me to the other side of the lake. When we preach this story, we never talk about what that means. Like we just go, yeah, getting in the boat, like Lake Michigan, going across. No. He told them, take me to the other side of the lake. The other side of the lake is called the Gadarenes, the Gerasenes. It's where you didn't go. Families didn't go on vacation to the Gadarenes because that's where demon-possessed people lived. The people would be taken there and dropped off. So when Jesus said, take me to the other side of the lake, we've never thought about what those disciples would have been feeling. Like if I'm Peter and I'm getting in a boat, these guys were in their 20s. They get in the boat, Jesus is asleep there on the stern, on the pillow. They start rowing, and they're going 4 miles, now starting to get toward dark. And I can see them talking to each other going, why are we going there? Like, why would he send me to the bad spot of town? And this is where I insert you into this story. In your life right now, on your boat, why is it that God picked for you to go through this thing? Like, God, you see, I mean, I'm a church attender. I've like given money and stuff. Like, why would you let me face trials? I was looking yesterday at I follow sports cards, and I watched this guy posted something about sports cards, and he put the name of Jesus in there about something. And man, oh man, the attacks on somebody saying they follow Jesus, and there is no Jesus. Why is there pain in this world? Why is all those questions? There are a plethora of questions that come when we face the idea of, could there be pain in following God? Could there be situations that when you totally are surrendered to Jesus that you actually experience hard stuff? Yeah. And those moments, I have discovered, are my opportunity to deepen in Him. You will either walk away from faith or you'll grow deeper in Christ. Can I propose to you today that your goal in the journey of life is to become more like Jesus? That doesn't happen riding the tops of waves. It happens when you are submerged, when life sucks, when you are watching me online and you didn't even want to get out of bed today, is an opportunity for you to find the depths of Jesus. I stand here today. I am not the same man I was when I was youth pastor here at Central. It was either I would give up or I would go deeper. And by God's grace, He helped me go deeper. And I tell you today, some of you are in that spot. I am here to be your cheerleader. I'm here to tell you, you know, God's changed the dude y'all are looking at. Like when people come up to me and say, Dan, I'm in the hardest place in my life, I have this overwhelming love toward you. And when you say, but I'm addicted to this, this, and this, my love doubles down. I would tell you, without even seeing it about myself, I used to carry a bit of a judgmental spirit. It is gone. He has humbled me. And I want you to know today, if you're here and you are helpless and you are hurting, if I love you, my goodness, how much deeper your Creator does. And you're on this boat of life and you're like, Jesus, why you send me the Gadarenes, man? I don't want to go over there. I want to go back to the. I want to start over at 4 and 7 and 16. Nope. This is where you are today at 36. And I want to take you from here. You live into the place God has you today. and you say, Jesus, what do you want to teach me? And then I know where you go. You go where I go. It's like, well, I'd like to talk to you, Jesus, but you appear to be sleeping. When I do talk, it's like I'm just talking to empty, dark spaces. Depth. Depth in him. Sometimes Jesus is quiet because he wants to see how far you can get. And these disciples are rowing and wondering and thinking. And then the absurd happens. A huge storm hits them. Sea of Galilee is known for this. It's hundreds of feet actually below sea level. And there's a trough that goes down to it. And the warm winds and the cold winds hit. And boom, massive storms. People who live there say the storms are ridiculous. And the disciples are fighting for their life. And he's sleeping. Jane and I, we get invited. We have the privilege of speaking. Sometimes I'm asked to speak on cruises. Jane always feels that's the calling of the Lord, so we always say yes. I love it when I'm speaking on a cruise and the captain will come on the mic, you know. Ladies and gentlemen, I need to inform you that tonight as you're sleeping, we're going through a massive storm. And the people, you can just hear, oh, no. And I'm over there going, yeah, baby. I love those storms. Late at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, big storm. That ship is just, I'm sleeping. I love it. That's what I picture Jesus. The storm hits, and he is dreaming. He's dreaming about what life would be like without Pharisees. I mean, he's having a good dream. He's living it up. And the disciples are fighting for their life up on the edge of the boat, trying to slosh the water out, fighting, thinking they're going to, it says, they thought they were going to die. And this is my favorite part. At some point, while they were fighting like crazy to save their life, at some point, one of them had the thought. Maybe Peter turned and said, guys, wait, we got Jesus on board. How often do we forget, huh? Did you forget this morning? Jesus is on your boat. Yeah, he is, but he's sleeping. He's on your boat. Chill. He's fine. You're good. He's testing your water intake ability. And let me promise you, I'm going to finish the story and tell you why the storms are important. What do we do first? I mean, let's just be really honest. If you find out something, you're dealing with an issue, probably, yeah, there's a few here who would pray first, but most of us would Google it, call a friend. We would check with somebody who's been through what we're going through. We'd call an organization who's known for that. Then we go, oh yeah, I should pray too. We're just like the disciples. And then they go down to him, you know. They go get him. They finally, oh yeah, where is he? I think I saw him in the stern. He found that pillow. So they go and they start shaking him and trying to rattle him. If you're here and, you know, I think of you guys right here, you like when your parents try to wake up in the morning. Let's pick an age, 15. When you go try to wake up a 15-year-old, you know, they never go, oh, good morning, Mom. Yes, good to see you. I mean, that's not what happens, you know. It's like they are gone. And you rattle them, you push them, you're like, stop. Well, leave me alone, I'm sleeping. They roll over. I picture Jesus that way. I mean, I don't picture him just jumping straight up. I think he was like, guys, chill. And look at what they're like. Notice what they say to him. Jesus, do you not even care? We're dying and you're just laying there sleeping. It's exactly what we do. It's what we do. I've done it. I've been in my car driving down the road and you aren't in the car with me. You don't know what I'm saying, but I'll tell you what I'm saying. Where are you, Jesus? Where are you? You promised you'd never leave or forsake me. Where are you? I don't feel you. I haven't felt chills in a year. People singing worship songs and they're over there, hallelujah, and I'm over here going, I want to sing that song. Yeah, I'm just telling you, it's reality. We can say what we want, but some of you in this room, sometimes you have the thought in your mind, I don't think Jesus cares. And you're normal. And it's a testing ground. And it's a deepening opportunity. And it sucks. And that's where we were. And that's where some of you are sitting this morning. And you want this thing to be solved by tonight. And it could be 5 more years. And they're over there rattling Jesus, and they finally get him awake enough. I can see him. I don't think he jumped right up. I really don't. I think he took his time. Because I don't know if y'all noticed. Just one of the things I noticed in Scripture about Jesus, he never panicked. Panickers would jump up. What is it? Where's the storm? I don't see that. I see Jesus sitting up and going, like 2022 version of Jesus. I think he sat up and said, can you guys just chill? Just chill. Just step back, Peter, your breath. Step back. And then I think he said the line, oh, you of little faith. He was trying to say to him, I gave you boys a shot to go deeper, and you're not doing a good job with it. What would he say to you today? And then he gets up. I think he took his time. The boat's a little wobbly, so he's probably like, give me a second. And he walks up to the edge of the boat. And he says this, peace be still. And the Bible says everything went calm. I'm sorry. There are moments in Scripture where he's talking about, I'd love to have been there. Just to watch all the winds and the waves and everything just go, I think it was crazy. And those other little boats out in the water, probably some of them might have already sank since they were smaller. It says in Scripture they were smaller than his boat. But the rest of them, I think somebody on another boat probably went, who did that? And I could see somebody yelling back, Jesus, he's over here. And I want y'all to see something, okay? Would you travel with me in this story and go, maybe, what do you think? A minute and a half ago, we were over here waking him up. 2 minutes ago, trying to get him awake, saying things like, you don't even care. Remember, this is the last thing in Scripture it says they said to him. You know, are you going to let us die? 1.5 minutes later, he does this. Look at their words. Ready? Who is this man? What a bunch of nonsense. Going from screaming at him to, you're amazing. So us, isn't it? It's so us. You've been through things in your life that you go, there's no hope. This will never work out. Then it works out and you come, he is awesome. I'll write a song for him. It's so silly. He wants to go, guys, I was the same dude over there as I am over here. Why can't you get steadier and trust me in both spots? That's on us, Jesus. Good point. If you've invited Jesus into your life, let me tell you, he is on your boat, whether you sense it right now or not. You can have a peace knowing whether it's the depth of the storm or total peace, you're good. Now see, if I were you listening to me preach, I would say right now, sure, let my story in like that and everything's great. Bring my peace in the storm and I'm fine, Dan. The story ends perfect. Really? Really? You thought that was the end of the story? No, they kept rowing. Do you remember where I told you they were headed? So the story keeps going. The boys are like, he's amazing. Who is this man? You are God of all. Wow, we're so glad we had Jesus. Give me 5. Hey, sign my arm. I mean, it was just a moment where, wow. rolling on. And they get to the Gadarenes, and they bring the boat up on the edge, and out from the tomb runs a naked man with demons. He saved us from the storm to take us to naked people that were crazy? If I was Peter, I'd have been like, reverse, hit the rose, boy, hit the rose. The story that happened here was to deepen them, to prepare them for what was about to happen here. Because the man who came out, who did not want to even have Jesus, he said, get away from me, get away. Then Jesus leads him to himself. He becomes a follower of Jesus. The boys got to see another miracle from there and then here. And Jesus was saying to him, I'll prove myself again here so that when we get over here in the middle of this fiasco, you can trust that it's all going to work out okay. Today, some of you are here, and he's laying over there, and he's checking to see, because it might be that one of your grandkids is going to grow up, and they'll remember the story of their faithful grandparent who they watched walk through this crap and hit another storm over here, and they made it, because when that grandkid who's way over here right now at this young age starts to have things in life, they'll go, oh, I remember. I remember the one in front of me was faithful in the storm. Your storm is not wasted. That's not something to be thrown out lightly. It's an opportunity. Dan, you speak of those as if you might enjoy them. Not at all. I would much rather finish my life riding the tops of waves. But if that's not what the Lord has for me, okay. Okay. Two weeks ago, I preached in Tampa, and I was in the middle of this thing with my face. It was way worse, very, very difficult to speak, and I just got through it. I mean, I just did what I could, and I was preaching down there in Tampa thinking to myself, if my face never comes back, I'll preach as hard as I can for you, Jesus, because you get to choose what you do with me. I don't get to choose. You just let me do whatever I can for your name's sake. That's all it's about, because at the end of my life, can I just tell y'all what's going to matter? Whatever I did for Jesus. Live into the place he has for you today. And you know what's really cool? I got to tell you this, because it comes to my mind. Some of you in this room, I'm going to reprimand you a little bit. You spend too much time in political issues. Go ahead, write your letters to me. I'll give them straight to Craig. I was down there in Tampa, and the speaker right before me is the chaplain of the United States Senate. That dude is rock solid for Jesus. That dude, he talked about things God's doing in the Senate right now, and the Bible studies he's leading, and the prayers daily he's having over senators, and what God's doing in Ukraine that you don't get reports about. And I was like, yeah, we don't see the big picture. Some of y'all don't see the picture you're in today, but God's doing something. And whatever he takes you to, let whatever he's doing today prepare you for it. You be humble. You be kind. You serve him. You let yourself be surrendered fully. It's hard. It's painful. But it's so stinking sweet when you get to the depths he has for you. The points from this message are very simple. The first one I want to share with you is, number one, I want you to take it to the bank. That issue that you have in your life right now that you're struggling with, go put the worry and the stress about it in God's vault. Did you hear me? You can't always put the issue in there. It's going home with you. But the worry and the stress, put it in the vault, seal it, and say, God, it's there. Now, I did that this week. I have something right now that's pretty stressful that I'm dealing with. I was driving in my car Friday. I'm on 31. That thing started coming up inside me like. And I went, okay, Lord, I'm going to put it in the bank. I'm going to put it in the vault. My stress and my worry about this, because I'm like y'all. Your mind runs to the worst. And I went, all right, I grabbed that sucker. I put it in the vault. I turned the crank. All right, good. 30 seconds later, sucker was right there again. I grabbed it. Put it back in the vault, tied that ring again. And the Lord brought something to my mind. It's not even going to make sense to you. Most of you won't even remember this song, but when I was a kid, I went back to my little house in South Carolina. My mom was sitting at the, she's passed now, but she was standing, in my mind, she was standing at the sink washing dishes. My mom had a hard life. My mom had a hard life. Sometimes she would just look out the window. I'd be in the room in there doing something, little kid doing something. She'd be looking out the window and she'd just start going, heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight. I'd be like, Mom, why are you singing? And she would say this to me, I'm trying to get my mind on better things, son. I get it now, Mom. I get it now. And the second point is, you got to retrain that brain. You got to get your mind on heavenly things, because this freaking earth will tear you to pieces. Stupid stuff in this earth is going to get worse. I'm just telling you, I'm trying to be some big bad prognosticator, but the earth, it is the world. It is what it is. If you dwell on it, if you spend your mind on that stuff, it's going to take you down. You dwell on heavenly things. You get your brain in the right place. And my third point is, repeat steps 1 and 2. To you retrain yourself to get in a better place. You're looking at a man that, if I had not got control of this, I would not be preaching today for sure. I would not be preaching today for sure. But I don't do what I do to make you happy anymore. I don't do what I do to get any accolades. Don't give a crap about that stuff any like I used to. I'm up here trying to tell you there's one man that can change the game, and his name is Jesus. And if you will surrender, if you will surrender your crap to him today, some 20-year-old sitting in here, if you'll surrender your crap to him today, he's got you. He's got you. Loves you. So I want you to cast your cares on him this morning. I want you to look at that thing that you're holding in your hand, and I want you to say, Jesus, I got to stop this because I'm killing myself. And I'm going to give you my worry and anxiety about it, and I'm going to go live the best I can. Y'all, I'm going to walk off the stage today. I'm tired. I'm weary fighting this thing. I'm going to walk off the stage. I'm going to do the best I can to go honor Jesus. And I will tell you right up front, I will not do it perfectly. I will make mistakes. But I'm going to keep working at it till I die. And I invite you to do the same. Somebody online, still laying in bed, depressed. Yep. I get it. And God's got you too. Bow your heads, will you? Father God, we just come before you right now. We lay all our stuff at your feet. Some days it overwhelms us. We run to all kind of things to try to deal with it, but we know that the best place to go is to you. You've appeared to be sleeping in a lot of our storm, and we pray today we'd be reminded you are not sleeping. You are watching over the next level of depth in us that you're wanting us to achieve. And with our pain, with our hurt, we commit it to you today. Lord, I specifically pray over these students who are sitting right here to my left. I love it. They've just heard the word of the Lord. And I pray it would tug strong at their heart. And maybe one of them is dealing with something with their parents or something with an issue that they're scared about. Give them peace today. Watch over us as we leave. Let your spirit guide us. And we love you. And we all say together, amen.